We're doing Megillah. We're up to Chafvav Amid Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, the middle of the line, the middle of the page, across from Tosfos Mereish. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braisa that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. Tashmishei mitzvah, items that are used for mitzvah, nizrakin, they can be discarded. They don't require burial. They're not holy. Tashmishei kedusha, but items that are used for holy, I guess holy mitzvos, items that themselves have holiness, so nignazin, those have to be buried. You can't just discard them. So what are tashmishei mitzvah? Veluhen tashmishei mitzvah. The following are items that are used solely for a mitzvah, and when you finish the mitzvah, there's nothing left holy about this item. So those are sukkah. You know, you sit in the sukkah, it's a little hot, it's fine. After sukkah, it's fine, you could throw it out. During sukkah, you're not allowed to. The sukkah is muktzah. During sukkah, it's being used for a mitzvah. After sukkah, you throw out the schach. Look around, you see all of Jerusalem, people throwing out schach.
During Yom Tov.
No, after Yom Tov. People take all the pine branches.
Muktzah
during Yom Tov, even on Chol HaMoed. Muktzah. The sukkah is a mitzvah now. Now it's being used for a mitzvah.
We are commanded to sleep and to eat. Yeah.
Okay, so for 7 days, it's muktzah for a mitzvah. After 7 days, I could throw it out. Ololov, same thing. I use it every morning. Theoretically, if I want to buy 7 lulavim, so I could shake one and eat it tomorrow. Shake the next one tomorrow and eat that the next day. Each day that I use it, so for that day, it's set aside for a mitzvah. If I had in mind initially that I wouldn't use it for any other day, so okay.
It's permissible to eat, like if you buy a new truck every day.
I'm saying, if I don't know if you buy a new one, if you buy 7 in advance, I don't know if buying a new one would be good.
Could you eat an etrog that's already for the mitzvah? Could you eat?
So that's a good question. You used it for the mitzvah, now you want to take a bite. So technically, on every day after the first day, it's still kosher after you take a bite. I mean, there are limitations of your esrog. How much has to be missing before this gets disqualified? So the first day, that's biblical. Outside the Temple Mount, only the first day is biblical. So you can't have it missing. But after the first day, you're allowed to take a bite. There are limitations. How much is allowed to be missing from the esrog? So that's a good question. You know, if it's not disqualifying it from the mitzvah, do I still say it's muktzah mitzvah? Remind me sukkah time. We'll get to learn it. Right? So shofar, the shofar is used for its mitzvah. After that, it's a trumpet. You know, there's no holiness to it. Tzitzit, it's used in a garment. After you take it out of the garment, it has no intrinsic holiness. So those things, we say, don't defile them. You know, you don't put them in the same garbage as you put the dirty diapers. You wrap them up in a bag and you could throw them out. There's no intrinsic holiness. Out of respect, we don't get them all defiled, but technically they have no holiness. The following are items that do have holiness. So the things that are used, like the sack that you put the books, like the Sefer Torah inside, or the any other holy book of Tanakh. So that's used for something holy. It's used for something that has words of Kedusha. It's not a mitzvah per se. It's Tashmishei Kedusha. Something that's being used for something holy. A book, anything that has Torah in it is holy. So the sack that it goes into is holy. Tfilin, right? So, who remembers the Noda B'Yehuda we learned about tfilin? What are tfilin?
What are these leather things with the books.
Oh, good, so we all know. Okay.
Do you have a backpack that you use to carry your books?
If you use it one time, no.
I mean, like, this is your backpack that you carry your books.
That you're always carrying your books to yeshiva? I don't know. If you designate a backpack, in this backpack you will carry books. So I'm not sure, because our books have a jacket, and really they're being carried in something. So let's see the rest of it, because the jacket, it's really in the jacket, and the jacket is in the bag. So I'm not sure that we would say that. That's why I purposely said a Sefer Torah. Let's see the other examples as we go along. We'll get a clearer picture. Tefillin. So we all know what tefillin are, right? Mike told us those leather boxes with parshiyos inside. Those of you who remember, we discussed the Noda Behuda, who argues on the Shulchan Aruch on the exact definition, whether tefillin is the box and tefillin are the parshiyos, right? Mizuzot, the cloth that you write the mezuzah on. V'tik shel sefer Torah, and the case of the Sefer Torah. So we have to understand Luskeme Sfarim is like the leather binding. Let's say, you know, when they read the Megillah, so you'll notice many people have a special bag for their Megillah, or they have a special box for their Megillah. So that's Luskeme Sfarim. When we see the word Sefer in the Shas, Chazal are referring to a book that's written on parchment, written handwritten for the sake of holiness. So it's much holier than any other book that we use. Our books we treat with the same holiness. We say our chumashim are like their chumashim. We say even though ours are printed, they're not handwritten, we do ascribe to them holiness. But when we say luskmei sfarim, remember they're talking about a long piece of parchment with a book of Tanakh. And this is the leather pouch for that book of Tanakh. Now we're talking about the tik she sefer Torah, the case of the Sefer Torah, the naltik shel tefillin, and the case of the tefillin, that would be in our day and age the box that you put your tefillin in.
Right? Or not the bag itself.
So the bag itself, that's v'retzuotehin, which we could understand, and the straps of the tefillin.
We don't consider the bag itself because there's
we do consider the bag. No, even though there's a cover, seems like we do consider the bag also case.
What about the plastic around the bag?
I don't think so. That's a case for the case. Why don't we say that the bag is a bag for the case? I don't know. I have to look into it.
So, but for instance, we don't really need a bag to carry tefillin. So why this bag of tefillin is much more is given much more importance than tzitzit itself?
That's what I just told him. I have to look into it. Oh, but I don't know. I don't know why the bag is given more importance, even though technically it's already in a case. Okay, I could say a few answers, but better look it up and make sure I'm right. So, for now, let's leave it hanging. Amarava. Okay, we should mention one more point. We discussed earlier in this Masechet, Amachlokas, Rashi, Tosfos, throughout the Shas, when we speak about the straps of tefillin. So, we ordinarily say that the straps have intrinsic holiness. Here, that you could understand either way, but because the straps form the letters, right, the knot in the back of the head with the straps coming out of it make the shape of a dalid. We have a shin on the housing of the shorosh itself, and we have a yod on the little knot down by our arm, and that spells shakai. We say the tefillin shorosh have more holiness because they have two letters of shakai, and the shoyad has only one, and we seem to treat that letter as a real letter of God's name. No, we might think, oh yeah, it's a knot that represents the Dalit. No, the Halacha treats it with treatment as though that were God's name.
What if you don't have a Dalit, you have the other version, the square.
Okay, so what I said was that the knot together with the straps coming out of it forms the Dalit. Watch. You look at your knot looks like this, right? And it has a strap coming out of bottom right and a strap coming out of the top left. A dalit halachically is a line going down and a line going perpendicular with a corner. We have the custom of extending the dalit out here, but that's a custom. Technically, halachically, if there's a sharp corner here, it's a dalit. If the top right corner is rounded, it becomes a reish. The difference between dalit and reish, the way we do it, that we extend a little leg sticking out behind it, it's a custom. It makes it easier to get a sharp corner, but That's not me'akiv. That's not really halachically incumbent. So this understanding of how this knot forms a dalet, you can find in Rashi. You read closely, and probably other Rishonim as well. Okay.
I laid on the plane to do the shankai in my hand. So what happened if by any chance, with the strength of the straps, in the end you would have like really written on your hand? It doesn't really happen because sometimes
it doesn't matter. No. Back to the Gemara. So if the straps have holiness, that was one of the reasons I was contemplating you, that why maybe the bag, right. Maybe. Amar Rava. So Rava said, Meresh, originally, Resh is like Resha in the beginning, Meresh, originally. Hava Amina, I thought, Haikulsam, the bima. Yeah, you have that wooden thing in the center of the Knesset. So I used to think, Tashmish de Tashmishu, being that there is a cloth spread out on top, and the Sefer Torah sits on the cloth. So I thought it was a secondary support to the Sefer Torah. Maybe because it doesn't support it directly, so then it's not called Tashmishei Kedusha. It doesn't directly give, the Sefer Torah is not directly placed upon it. The Sefer Torah is placed on the cloth, which is placed on the bima. How do you say bima in English?
Altar.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, bima.
Stage.
Podium.
Okay. At least I don't feel bad that I don't know. If you guys can't figure it out, so I can say bima. That's fine. So originally, Rava said, I thought that the bima in the center where we put the Sefer Torah, tashmish de tashmishu. Really, it's a support of a support. Vishari. And then it would be permissible to use it for mundane uses because it's not a tashmish kedusha. Kevan de chazina. Once I saw that they do place the Sefer Torah directly on the bima, Amina. Then I said, Tashmish Kedusha Uvasu, that in fact the bima is a direct Tashmish Kedusha and it is prohibited. Okay, so here we're starting to get the picture. Well, you asked me earlier, Eitan, that it has to be direct uses with the holiness. And that's why the plastic that's outside the bag, that's outside the tefillin, that are inside the case, I don't think there's room to say that that's a tashmish kedusha.
We will say that we don't put the Sefer Torah on the earth on the bima because it's not covered for the Sefer Torah.
Can't hear you.
We can say that we don't put Sefer Torah directly on the bima because it's not covered for the Sefer Torah.
You're saying that's today, so maybe it's different. I hear. V'amar Rava. Merei Shava Mina. Rava said, originally I thought we're at the end of the first white line. Hai prisa, the paroches. Prisa is the curtain that we put in front of the Aron HaKodesh. Tashmish de tashmishu. Because the curtain is in front of the Aron, and the Sefer Torah goes inside the Aron. So it seems to be a secondary usage. It's not directly serving the Sefer Torah. Once I saw that they take it off and they use that under the Sefer Torah, they take it down, and they place the books directly on the paroches, Amina, then I said, Tashmish Kedusha uvasu. That is really a Tashmish Kedusha, and it's prohibited to use it for mundane uses. Now, in Europe, they were very poor, right? You guys know. They didn't have food. I mean, they were living with chickens in the house. They were very poor. The story we sing, it's a song that was composed 200 years ago by Hasidic Rebbe, who couldn't afford to buy his daughter a garment for her wedding. So he said, I can't afford a garment, at least I'll compose a song in her honor. But that's the level of poverty they lived on. So when they had a wedding, how'd they afford a wedding? Everyone chipped in. All the guests would bring a dish. And they'd make the wedding on Friday afternoon, because who could afford to make a dish in the middle of the week? They'd make the wedding Friday afternoon, so then everyone would have their Shabbos meal together. And that's how they could afford to make a meal together. And this wasn't only in Europe, in Yemen and in Morocco. They also had the custom that when you came to a meal, you brought food. You brought the food you were going to eat. You brought your own dish. And if you were really well off, so you brought enough for other people too. But it was like a way of honoring them. You're only coming to help, but they'd reserve you what you yourself brought. So people couldn't afford a wedding. How do you make a wedding? So the food we just covered. What do you do about a chuppah? So the custom was, they take the parochas off of the Aron HaKodesh, and the parochas would have four loops. Two on top, when it was hanging in the Aron HaKodesh, and two on bottom, when it had to hang on poles for the chasen and kala. And they'd use that as the parochas, as the canopy under which the chasen and kala got married. The parochas itself. Now, according to our Gemara, that's a problem. But, being that probably 1,000 years ago they stopped using the parochas on the bima for the Sefer Torah, just like today, you've never seen anyone put the parochas on the bima, so then we have our answer. That Rava himself said, the only reason it becomes a Tashmish Kedusha is because they use it on the bima for the Sefer Torah. And that practice probably stopped 1,000 years ago. So then you could start the practice they had up until about 70 years ago, which was to take the parochas and use it as a canopy.
Is that really mundane use to be a chuppah?
Oh, so that deserves a longer discussion of what a chuppah really is.
<That's okay>.
So we'll just say one understanding, and that is that the chuppah represents the chassan's home, meaning he's bringing her into his home. Well, if that roof is supposed to be his home, so that seems like a mundane use, even though technically it's part of the marriage procession. But if that roof is supposed to represent his home, so then that would seem to be a mundane use. Yeah.
Didn't we see that because it's covering the Aron HaKodesh, that's Kedusha?
No, because the Kedusha of the Aron is because the Aron is serving the Sefer Torah. So now the canopy is serving the Aron, which is serving the Sefer Torah. That's Tashmish to Tashmish.
So what happens in some synagogues, even nowadays? Like there is no doors on the Aron HaKodesh. There is just parochet without doors.
So then it would seem to be Tashmish Kedusha, but I'm not sure. Because I'm not sure if Rava was talking about a situation where they had doors. Could be that, I don't know. I don't see an indication here that he's talking about where they had doors. And so, in that case, I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's Itamar, by the way. It's Itamar.
Ah. Okay. Vama Rava. Rava said, Hai Tevuta de Ilpat. If you have an teva, you have if you have an ark that is broke down, so what do? Miavda teva zutratis. Make a smaller one. Shari kulsaya asir. If you have an aron, you have an ark, you have an aron kodesh that got ruined, so make a smaller one. But to make it into a bima, to make it into a central bima, is prohibited because that's less holy, the bima, than the Aron HaKodesh. Dama Rava, Hai Perisa de Bala. Rava said, if you have the curtain of the Aron HaKodesh, which Rashi says this curtain they put on the inside of the Aron HaKodesh. The parisa. Beforehand we said it's the outside parochas. That was an error. We're talking about inside the Aron HaKodesh, and then that would seem that even if there is no door, it seemed like that's a tashmish to tashmish. That's not a direct tashmish. So hai parisa de bala. If that wore out, lemev de parisa le sifrei. So then you could make it into a curtain for svarim. Shari, that's permissible. Lechumashin, but for chumashim, which are non-kosher Sifrei Torah, it's not really books of Tanakh, a chumish by definition, in the words of the Gemara, is a Sefer Torah that's not a kosher Sefer Torah, either because you have only one book of Tanakh inside, or because it has other problems with it. It's not kosher as a Sefer Torah, that's a chumish. Chumish by definition is a book of Torah, or all five books of Torah that are not qualified as a Sefer Torah. It could be. So the chumashin asir. You can't use this curtain that originally was there for Sefer Torah, even though it wore out, you can't use it for chumashin. But for other sfarim, you could. Next. V'amar Rava. Hanez vilei de chumashe. If you have worn out hanez vilei around the sefer, around the book, they'd make a leather binding around it. So that's zvile de chumashe, vekintere de sifre, how do you say it in English? The case for chumashim, a wooden case for the sfarim. Tashmish kedusha ninu, they are considered tashmish kedusha. V'nignazin, and you have to bury them. The Gemara says pshita. No, these things come in direct contact with the book. Either it's the leather binding or it's the actual case that the book goes into. Obviously, that's considered tashmish kedusha. Why do you have to tell me that? I might think these aren't used to honor the book. They're only there to protect the book. And then maybe they have no holiness. Then no, they do have holiness. There was a shul of Roman Jews. They have a pticha lahu idrona that was open. Dave petiach lahu adrona, they have a machit they met. And this shul of Roman Jews, they had a room inside. They had idrona, some kind of room, like what do they call the room where they store the corpses? Morgue, right. They had a room in which they put, they basically made this room coming off of the shul into a morgue. And Kohanim wanted to enter and daven in that shul. Now the shul is open to a room with that's a morgue. Now if you have tumah in one room and you have another room attached to it, so there are rules. But sometimes the tumah goes from room to room. It remains within the house. It depends on certain factors, as we'll see in a second. So, Amu lei l'Rava. So they asked Rava, what are we going to do? The Kohanim want to come daven too. Amalahu dalu tevuta utbua. So take, Rava said, here's what you do. Take the ark, take the Arna Kodesh, and put it to cover the entrance, that, and it'll be a pause, it'll break between the two rooms. The havelei kliyetz asui lenachat, the kliyetz asui lenachat, enom kabel tuma. And then this ark, because of we won't go into the criterion, but at any rate, it can be a pause between the tuma of one room and another room. If you have a wooden vessel that's not being carried around, we derive from the psukim that the Torah describes which wooden vessels can become tameh. Torah says a wooden vessel, a garment, a leather vessel, or a sack. So we say, why did the Torah give me four examples? To tell me they all have to be like the sack. Just like the sack is something that you carry around, so too each one of these, if you make a vessel out of them, in order for it to become tameh, it has to be something which can be carried around. Well, that wooden ark is not something that's made to be carried around. So once you put it there, it cannot become tameh because it doesn't fall under the criterion of a wooden vessel that's made to be carried around. And then it will be a pause in the way of the tumah, and then the tumah won't enter the shul, and then the kohanim could come down in shul, and the bodies will be out there in the morgue in the room next door. Okay, once upon a time, death was part of life. Excuse the pun. Really, I mean, they lived with death all the time. The average person buried at least half their kids. You know, mortality rate was so high, death was just an everyday thing. You know, the Gemara discusses. What do you do? Okay, we won't discuss. Back to the Gemara. Amulei Rabbanan l'Rava. So, the rabbi said to Rava, V'azimni dimtaltilei, ki manach sefer Torah eluyei, v'avelim tatel maleo v'reikam. the rabbis asked Rava, they said, you know, you're assuming that this is a vessel that when it's full and has Sefer Torah inside, you don't move it around, only when it's empty. And just like a sack, it has to be something that's moved around, full or empty, and then it can become Tameh. Well, people do move the ark when it's with the Sefer Torah inside. Sometimes they move it around. The Gemara says, Iachi lo afshal. He said, you're right. If that's the case, then you're right. Then it will not be a pause in the way of the Tumah. Okay, a lot to discuss here, but let's move on with.
This is that they need to move the ark?
Well, in order for the ark to be a kli on the kabel tumah, a vessel that accepts tumah, it has to be a vessel that is moved around under normal circumstances, both when it's full and when it's empty. That's
like
called.
Like one meter.
I think it means like a distance.
A distance.
I don't know how much the distance is. Amar Mar Zutra. So now Mar Zutra taught us mitpechot sfarim shebalu. If you have the cloths that were directly used for a book, even a Sefer Torah, and it wore out, so what do you do with that cloth now? Now, this was a common question in Europe, because the custom of the Yekis was that when a child had his circumcision, so they'd make a very long cloth that was used to wrap his feet. They'd bind the feet just like Yitzchak's feet were bound by the Akedah. So they'd wrap his feet. It wasn't painful for the baby, but it was a way of keeping the feet down. And they'd just take this long cloth. Think of a turban. You have a long turban, just wrap it around the feet. Okay, so the baby's feet were down, and then they'd do the circumcision. And afterwards, the baby grew up with this being his cloth, and it would have drops of blood from the circumcision. And then when the baby was old enough, when he was about to start learning Chumash, he and his family would decorate it. And after they decorate it, the day that he'd start learning Chumash, he'd come to shul, and in honor of the Sefer Torah, he'd bring this long turban-like cloth. And the Yekish custom is that they use a long cloth to wrap up the Sefer Torah. They don't use these belts like we do. They use this long cloth. They just wrap around and around and around the Sefer Torah. So every kid, when he reaches the age of 5 and he's about to start learning Chumash, they'd bring this cloth and they'd wrap the Sefer Torah with that in honor of this kid. After a week or two, there was the next kids, and you understand, every few weeks you had another one. So what did the Gavim do with all the old ones? They had this big chest under the Aron where they'd toss one after another after another. And when people would die, they'd say sometimes they'd want to be buried with that cloth, because that cloth still represented their bris milah. That's why I offer people sometimes something with a drop of blood, because people sometimes say, let me have it. When I go to my grave, I should have this. This is my covenant with Avraham Avinu, my covenant with God. I'm doing the covenant of Avraham Avinu, the bris milah. So now people want to be buried with that. Do you use it as tachrichim? Do you use it to wrap the dead or not? So our Gemara says, Rava says, if you have cloths that are used for a Sefer Torah and they've worn out, and the Gabbai told me they wore out, sitting there for 30 years under the Aron, no one's touching them except for the next cloth that's tossed down there. They were completely worn. So, osinotan tachrichin, but the Gemara says, limit mitzvah. We use them to make shards, to bury the mace mitzvah, someone who is found dead and no one knows who he is. There are no relatives to bury him. V'zoig mizatan, and that's how we bury them. Damar Rava, Sefer Torah shebala. Rava said, if you have a Sefer Torah that wore out, gonezin oto etzit tamid chacham. When you bury it with the Talmud Chacham. If you have a Sefer Torah that's all worn out, you can't fix it anymore. It's finished. What do? You bury it with the Sefer Torah with the Talmud Chacham. V'afilu shonei halachot. Even someone who didn't learn by the rabbis, he doesn't know Shas well, but he knows Mishnayos, he's shonei halachot, he repeats halachos, then he knows, you can bury it with him. But you don't bury the Sefer Torah directly with the body, you put the Sefer Torah in an earthenware vessel. Shneimar, the verse says, Jeremiah tells the people of Israel, put your contracts in earthenware vessels so they'll last a long time when you bury them, and then you'll come back to Israel and want to reclaim your land after the 70 years of exile. Put them in earthenware vessels so they should last. Yeah. Oh, you know that. Very good. I assume so. I don't know. I assume so. Cloth. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, the ones who really were decorated are the sisters and the mother. Right, and some people were smart enough to take it back home. Some people left it in shul. Ah.
Explain the brick.
Yeah.
Can we see that some belts that in some synagogues are used to wrap Sefer Torah, they're very long and very beautiful, means that maybe it's connected with this?
Yeah, sure.
So
sure,
it's like brand new ones, it's like very modern, but maybe it's connection.
Why not? It's still the Yekish custom.
No.
Why not?
That's still today?
For those Yekis who keep their custom, look, I didn't do it with my sons, but there are better Yekis than me out there, and they still do it. Yeah, why not? Okay, so we're out of time to say that. So tomorrow night we said...